Hello, Ziggy. It's Terry Mulligan calling.
Hey, Terry, what's up?
I'm good, man.
Yeah, man, cool.
Where have I found you, Ziggy? You're because you're on the road. Where are you now?
Yeah, we're in LA. We just came back from Singapore yesterday, so we played here for the Formula One racing shows, and we're in LA now, waiting to head out to Canada.
You like this life on the road?
Yeah, well, it's interesting, especially when you go to, like, new places, you know, places you've never been before, and you're seeing things. It's life-changing, you know, traveling the world and seeing different cultures and meeting different people. It definitely caused some growth, you know.
You've been through Edmonton and Calgary before?
Yeah, we've been through Calgary before.
Yeah. All right. Well, you're doing a wise thing. You're getting in before winter sets in. This is smart. Listen, I had a conversation last week just about this time with a young singer-songwriter named Adam Cohen, and his father is Leonard Cohen. And Adam was explaining, this was his fourth album, he was explaining how long it took to come to grips with the fact that his dad was Leonard Cohen, that his music was going to be compared to Leonard, and how he was so conflicted as to what his music should be, what his voice should be. Then when he finally realized he was his father, he sounded like his dad. He was going to sound like his dad. Did you go through some of those same things with yourself and Bob? Did you wonder who you were to be or what your voice was to be?
Not really. No, I mean, I think for me, I didn't take the time to wonder. I just, like, flowed with whatever was happening to me, and, you know, at the time. I don't think I thought about it too much. I just did it. I just did whatever it did. And I'm at the fact, like, when I look back and listen now, I can, like, oh, during that time, what was happening? But when it was actually happening, I never really think about it enough. I more reflect on it now than at the time things were happening. But I think the idea of coming to terms that you are a part of, accepting that you're going to sound like your father, that you're going to be like your father, I think that's a part of my journey also, like just saying, yeah, this is who I am and I can't change it, you know, I must embrace it.
It's always going to be there.
Yeah, it's like you can't get away from it, you know.
I saw a comment from Chris Blackwell, who was vital, of course, in getting your father's music out to the world. The quote was, "Reggae is bouncing back. It got lost somewhat in a negative and violent direction, but it's finding itself again." I mean, reggae is Jamaica. Do you agree with this?
Yeah, well, reggae is a part of Jamaica, but reggae is really, you know, it is the world now. You know, it started in Jamaica, but it's not just Jamaica anymore.
Right.
You know, it definitely is a world music now. So I think it can be expressed in any part of the world, you know.
It still moves Jamaican society, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Jamaica had a kind of love-hate relationship with it, the new generation, you know, because it was such a powerful movement and so engrossing that the younger generation kind of were trying to get away from it and trying very hard. It was like, actually, it's like the same issue with, we talk about the father and the sons.
Yeah,
it was like that.
Yeah,
you know, it's kind of like that where they have to kind of just give up that thing of that struggle that they were having and just kind of embrace it and know that this music is a part of them and it's something that should be uplifted and not kind of trying to not be who you are, basically, you know. So I think a lot of the younger generation had that struggle with it, especially with such a figure like my father being still the number one name in reggae. You know, it was difficult for a lot of them to still live under his shadow. You know, in a way, they're having that issue that I should be having or should have had, you know. But it's on a whole country is having that issue, you know. A whole generation is having that issue.
That's true. It wasn't that long ago, Ziggy, that you were the young generation.
Yeah, but no, you have another generation. so it's good, yeah.
Did Snoop Lion's Reincarnated, did that music help bring reggae along to another audience?
Not that I know of.
Okay,
but it's possible. But I don't know.
All right, listen. I was watching. There was a new video for Bob's Get Up Stand Up, and then and then you made one with Flea. Was it for I Don't Want to Live on Mars?
Yeah, well, Flea supports this school, you know, that have kids kids that support music in indies and exposing kids to music. Yeah. So his choir, the choir at that school, did a version of I Don't Want to Live on Mars.
I like
which was
that.
Very cool.
Don't you like kids singing your songs?
Yeah, it's the best. I mean, it's the best show of, you know, the appreciation. Is when children can sing your song, you know, you have something, you know.
Ziggy Marley on the phone in Calgary Monday at the Epcor Center, and then Tuesday at Windspear in Edmonton. And he's coming to Canada where his hemp seeds come from. I was looking at your line here, the Ziggy Marley's hemp rules. I see that your certified organic seeds are sourced from Canada from agricultural hemp and contain no THC. They're also certified kosher. That's a pretty cool thing you got going there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a part of the movement. It's a part of the education of society on the benefits of this plant and that we should use it. And Canada, you know, has been on, you know, the forefront of it in some ways with hemp. So, you know, we're very happy that, you know, our source is in Canada right now, but we'd like the whole world to really get on board with this hemp thing.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Get it going, you know?
The new album is, Fly Rasta. And I couldn't, from the way I received the music, I couldn't tell who wrote what. Did you do all the writing, Ziggy?
I did the majority. There's two songs that I did some co-writing on, but most of the songs I wrote.
Which one's most personal to you?
I Get Up, Moving Forward. Yeah, I think those two probably.
Where did Lighthouse come from?
Lighthouse was one of those songs I co-wrote with a young songwriter. He came up with this melody, and I can't even remember quite clearly where the whole thing came from, but somehow we got to Lighthouse and being a lighthouse.
A beacon.
Yeah, you know, yeah, a beacon, yeah, for souls and people that are caught in the rough seas.
True.
You know?
True, very true. How many musicians do you, how big is the band you bring on stage?
The band is a nice size band, but I'm missing out. Drum, bass, keyboard, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, about 11 of us, yeah.
I was, were you nominated International Reggae and World Music Awards? Has that?
Which one?
The International Reggae and World Music Awards, have they already happened?
I don't know.
Okay. You were nominated, that's all.
Yeah.
All right. Can you see yourself, have you got a project down the road that you want to do specifically, something that you've always wanted to do and it will happen, say, in the next 5 years, anything in particular musically?
Yeah, I think there's a thing that I've had in my mind, and I kind of started working on it. It's a project to do an album that is based around Naya Bingi drumming, which is Rastafari drumming,
right,
and chanting. And it's a project that it's a cultural project that I want to kind of It's a very spiritual music. It's like religious music that evokes a certain energy. But I'd like to do a project around that, that type of sound, you know.
That sounds like a great project.
Yeah, it's going to be good because it's very spiritual, very powerful.
No matter where you go, Ziggy, your music is played. And no matter where you travel, sooner or later, you're going to hear your father's music come out of a doorway or a car going by or on a radio. Are you taken back to those times? What happens inside when you hear that music?
Well, I get very excited and happy. Like, you know, what was I watching? Like, sometimes I watch fights, like, you know, boxing matches or, you know, UFC and stuff. And you just hear, like, Pretty Bell of Tina. I'm like, yo, listen to that. I get very excited when I hear, you know, his music playing, like, in just arbitrary places. That, like, yo, check this out. Hey, listen to this.
And it's amazing, the numbers on his albums and Legend in particular. There is a new generation discovers it about every 5 to 7 to 10 years. It just discover Bob and then discover the music.
Man. Yeah, that is
timeless.
You know, Bob is the example. He's a perfect example of a personality, a human being, a man, a musician, can touch the world. It's a lot of humility, a lot of caring, a lot of love, which I think the next generation can learn a lot from, you know. Humility, love, caring, you know, these type of traits is what carries music forward, you know. So I think there's a lesson for them to learn, you know,
Did you? How old were you when he passed away?
Was 12, going on 13.
Did you ever have a conversation with him and asked him if you could have a career in music? Did you ever talk about that?
No, we never talked about it. But he was the one who wrote our first song and put us in the studio in 1979. So
he knew what
he sang some stuff. If you listen to him and in interviews, he would talk about us or his children, and he would, you know, in a few songs you hear him say something about his children. So
sure,
he knew certain things ahead of time. Obviously he knew his kids, and so he knew some things, but we never really sit down and talk about it. Our life was one of experiences, not really, you know, a lot of talking about things, but experiencing things, you know.
I'm going to go out with one of your songs and one of your dad's. So yeah. I'm going to let you be the DJ. You pick yours and you pick your dad's.
Yeah, all right. Yo, from the new album, Fly Rasta, this song is I Get Up.
I Get Up. And from Bob?
From Bob is Could You Be Loved, you know?
Could You Be Loved.
Yeah.
Okay, Ziggy, this is a great website you got going here. There's so many projects that you have going on. My hat's off to you. Big thumbs up. Everything you're doing, all the projects, all the charity work.
Yeah, man. Thank you, man.
All right. ZiggyMarley.com is the way to go. Go and see him, please. It doesn't get better than this. Calgary Monday at Epcor Center. Tuesday at the Windspear in Edmonton. Ziggy Marley bringing it to you. Thank you, Ziggy.
I thank you, man.
Hold on just a second.
Up on the rehab.
Thank you.
It's going to be hard, but you get it done.
I will. Thank you, man. Thank you. Have a great time.
All right, brother.
Thank you for your time, man.
Take
I appreciate
care.
It. All right, bye.
Come on. Thank you, bye. Thanks.